What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously, especially when they give advice. Do not take Marshall's analogies literally, especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey. The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Bye. Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670 The...
Kind enough to join us after that heater, Justin Turner.
I love that level of passion, especially from your wife. I understand she also has a passion for the local football team in town. I'm curious as to if you share that passion.
I can't tell you how many times I walk downstairs and I see her wearing Duh Pope shirt.
Duh Pope!
She is a huge Bears fan, loves the Bears. She's ran a fantasy football league for like 15 years now. She loves it.
I do this thing, Justin, where I give out Bears to people like it's a scale. Because your wife is a Bears fan and you're talking about buying Bears gear, sir, you just got yourself 6 automatic Bears out of 10. 6 Bears out of 10.
Love it. If I told you the name of her fantasy football league, I think that number would go up.
Go ahead, give it to us. I got more Bears here in my bag. I can give some more out.
The name of her fantasy football league for as long as I've been in it is Put Your Dick in My Bucket.
Oh my God! 10 Bears!
It's not strictly 10 Bears. About the Bears. It's
10 Bears!
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Justin Turner and Courtney Turner, you're welcome anytime. Courtney Turner, I'm pretty sure you're one of us. One of us.
One of us.
One of us.
Google gobble, Google gobble.
We will take your Bears thoughts anytime here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. That was a wonderful interview and so cool that the Turner team is on board with everybody here. So a lot of fun was had yesterday. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. When we have breaking news on The Score, it is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. You can text us. You can call us 312-644-6767. You can vent to us about the Cubs because I feel like there's a lot of that going on after what happened last night. Our producers, Ray Diaz, Robbie Triano, and Brandon Fryer. And then you can also join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our video producers are Jacob Stutz and Connor O'Donnell. After all the good vibes we had after that interview with Justin Turner, and I think he did a wonderful thing inadvertently. Walk-off home run is always great. But when you consider the emotional toll that Ryan Sandberg's death took on the fans and the team and having that series at Wrigley over the weekend, that was a wonderful way to close that chapter of that series. You know, you don't, you never close the chapter of Ryan Sandberg's death. But when I say that, I mean just having a way to end that series on a high note was such a good thing. And then they came into the series against the Reds, hopeful with with Michael Soroka on the mound, that we would see the new trade acquisition. We would get a chance to face a Reds team that, even though they had Nick Lodolo on the mound, we saw what happened. He went down because of a blister. And then, unfortunately, not only did they not capitalize on that, Soroka is now on the injured list with a shoulder strain. The Cubs lost 3-2. The offense looked very bad, managing only three hits. There were some really bad at-bats. There were some fundamental mistakes when Dansby Swanson is running and his foot doesn't touch the base, so the play is reviewed and he's called out. And I feel like what we saw yesterday was a multi-chain of cascading events leading to a loss that is you telling yourself. Like, when we watch the eye test, this was a team that we know doesn't have the same amount of momentum and is not playing with the same amount of dominance that other teams who did so much last week are.
I look at it and I thought, is this a comedy of errors or is this a comedy of oh no? And I came up with oh no, because it was one oh no after another,
like, oh,
watching
no.
that game. Because so many little things happen and they just added up, right? The snowball effect, whether you're talking about Dansby, whether you're talking about Ian Happ misplaying a ball in left field, whether you're talking about the types of hits that were given up that led to runs for the Reds. Little check swing here, little check swing there. It's just, oh no, oh no. And then, of course, the biggest oh no is, oh, you did get to see Michael Soroka make his first Cubs start. You just didn't get to see much of him after he had to leave the game with what you mentioned, the shoulder injury. And I came into the series thinking, because it was the Reds, a team who very much is still alive for a wild card spot in the National League, out of the division race, but very much alive for the wild card spot, I said, this is the most consequential series that the Cubs have had in a long time, because they've now got their team together post-trade deadline, which is what we all had our eyes on a couple of weeks ago. And now we get to see if they can handle two great left-handed starting pitchers in a three-game series and find a way to win the series. It is not off to a good start.
Well, and the thing about the trade deadline is you're trying to address your team's needs. It is not about the record that was before. That helps you dictate whether you're a buyer or a seller. We've seen that. It's about how you feel like you can improve your team to make the push. That is the significant difference between now and the end of the regular season. And that's why I like to say that there are people who read a box score, there are people who look at the standings, and then there's those of us who are watching the games. When we watched the game last night, did you feel good? The answer is no for me.
Oh, the answer is definitely no for, I think, anyone who follows the Cubs and has seen them all season long and watched last night's game cannot feel good about what transpired on the field.
And by the way, let's do that record check while we're at it. So Blue Jays 66-48, wrecking shop. Then it's the Red Sox 63-51. Tigers 66-48. Astros 63-50 as we check the division leaders. Philadelphia Phillies 64-48. Brewers are 68-44, and the Cubs are now three games back of them at 65-47. Dodgers are 65-48, but the point is, even when you want to point to the record, you can't point to it like you did 3 days ago, and that's what we're talking about here. Outside of the problem that one of the guys who you depended on and you acquired at the trade deadline is going to be out an indefinite amount of time, as we found out. Now, we know the IL stint right now and what it's scheduled for, and that was per Bruce Levine. You're talking about the injured list for Mike Soroka. But regardless, there were so many issues here that we've seen coming, right? Whether it was the velocity drop for Soroka that, if we've seen, I know the Cubs have too. Jesse Rogers saying that there was an MRI that was done preemptively by Soroka, and I'm assuming that information was also given to the Cubs. That doesn't make it okay. No, you know that he had a history of injury leading into this.
I think the reason it doesn't make it okay is because even though the MRI came back clean, which Soroka called for himself because he noticed his velocity had dipped and couldn't quite figure out what was going on, just wanted to make sure that everything was sound.
Good on him for saying it, too.
Yeah, but the velocity still dipped. So why did the velocity dip? And now that's compounded by the fact that in his first start with his new team, he has to leave with a shoulder injury.
Spaceships don't come equipped with mirrors. They dip.
Well, they have mirrors, I think. They just don't have any rearview mirrors.
It's a song.
I know. Outcast. you know, tell me. That's the one I will get.
Okay, so I've thought about this long and hard.
Go ahead.
Last year and the year before here on the Midday Show, Cubs DEFCON became a thing. Cubs DEFCON started in 2023, when, as I've mentioned famously many times here on Ye Show, that the Cubs had a lovely chance of making the playoffs, over 90% after Labor Day weekend that year, only for it to crash. Crash like my heart. That happens every day. But in this case, Cubs DEFCON, I think, has to come back. We had it come back every now and then in 2024, didn't we?
Is this the DEFCON music? Is
it that sounds a little swanky for DEFCON.
Yeah, it sounds more swanky or swingerish.
It sounded a little like Kill Bill at first,
yes,
and then it went
Kill
into
Bill.
Some
it
fabulous... I didn't realize the fabulous part of that. I only thought about the, like, the echo of the Kill Bill's
hit us again with
like,
Robbie.
Siren.
We have to listen to the end.
Appropriate.
But you wanted the fart.
Some sort of like ending that just tells you where we're at.
I think that was a nice juicy fart. What happened yesterday?
It was.
To answer your question, Layla, yes, we did unfortunately bring the DEFCON back in 2024.
Don't you remember? Yeah, yes. It was like Cubs. I was like, oh, Cubs DEFCON doesn't need to come back yet. No, it's here. Now remember, in DEFCON, one is the highest, and five is the lowest. So I'm at a 3.5.
Is there a half in DEFCON? I thought it has, you have to be 3 or 2 or 1, 4 or 5. I don't.
All right, fine. 3. I'm at a 3.
You're straight 3.
Yeah.
No longer between 4 and 3. You're up to 3.
Yeah. No, it's not like the midnight clock and the nuclear stuff. But the point is, Cubs DEFCON is back, and Cubs DEFCON for Layla is at a 3.
Just to give people perspective on DEFCON in nuclear terms, so they can kind of try to translate that to the
Cubs.
That's
always what you want, to compare your team to nuclear terms after the trade deadline when they're trying to go for a pennant. That's always what you want.
DEFCON 3 is 2 steps from war, generally seen as a standby level of alert and is the highest level of alert during peacetime. So that might be an accurate statement when you're looking at the Cubs.
Cubs DEFCON is at 3 for me. Now, it could be higher for you. That would mean a 2 or a 1. But for me, it's at a 3.
And here's why we're still at peacetime. The Cubs, by the numbers, still do have the second best record in baseball.
If you're looking at percentage.
Yeah, well, that's at the end of the day, that's what we look at.
You know who else was looking at percentage? Jerry Reinsdorf last year after the Sox record. I just want to point that out.
Let's not make that stark of a comparison. But I'll say this. Even though they are the second best record in baseball, the problem is the team with the best record in baseball is now 3 games above them in their same division. And if you don't win your division, you are guaranteed to have to play in the wild card round. And the whole point is, you don't want to have the second best record in baseball and still have to play extra games if you don't have to.
I missed with the second best record in baseball mess. If you watch the games, you know what you're seeing.
Yeah.
You know. Is this the team you expect to go on a run? I'm just trying to figure out how 1 through 4 isn't going to be in this clunker slump that they're in.
There are ways out of the slump, but unfortunately, the avenue of trade is no longer available to you.
And unfortunately, your starting pitcher that you invested 2 prospects in the deal.
1 pitcher. How many did I say they should go get? I believe it was 2 starting pitchers.
But we knew the market was tight. And that was also a part of the point here. We knew the market was tight. Jed Hoyer told us that. Dave Dombrowski told us that. Everybody told us that. We knew that certain pitchers that we thought were going to be available weren't. So they invested in Michael Soroka. Let's listen to Soroka in his own words talking about if he knew that this was an issue prior to last night.
That's kind of where we did to make sure, honestly, for my peace of mind before my outing against the Astros. We just said, you know, we looked in some avenues mechanically, you know, some other things as to where the velocity could have went, and we decided to check that other box off. And yeah, there was nothing that presented to be an issue at the time there. And obviously, you know, anybody in medical know that you gotta the presentation in the actual exam with the doctor obviously means a lot too. So I didn't have any discomfort. I didn't have any pain. You know, there was no reason to believe that there was anything wrong. So we cleared that, and unfortunately, you know, that changed a little bit in the second inning tonight.
That was Michael Soroka talking about the steps he took before he ended up leaving the game last night with what was a shoulder strain. The Cubs 3-2 loss. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score, and this segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I don't think he went to Dr. Nick from The Simpsons. I think he did the right thing, knowing his injury history, which unfortunately is vast, and being precautionary and making sure that he was in the right place for him, because he even called this embarrassing. Like, he said he was embarrassed when it came to what happened last night.
And he was pitching well at the time. I mean, he struck out the side in the first around a four-pitch walk, so you had some hope that, okay, this guy's, he's bringing it. And it just, the way it all went away, when you see him in the dugout having a conversation with the trainer, with Craig Counsell, and just this feeling of, oh my goodness, except for it wasn't oh my goodness, it was oh no, because I told you it was a comedy of oh no's last night.
Yeah, it really was.
And so that oh no becomes more than that, because you have been given this golden opportunity because Nick Lodolo had left the game already. And you thought, okay, the better than good starting pitcher that happens to throw with his left hand is out of the game. Cubs have now an avenue to getting, you know, on top of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
They got on top of it to the tune of three total hits.
And that's what's so frustrating. And it wasn't necessarily, you know, when Nick Martinez, for example, came into the game, right? It was, and who you know was working on short rest. It was also events like what happened in the fifth inning. You know, the at-bats that happened there. Michael Bush, three-pitch at-bat, called out on strikes. Curveball at 78 got, or 76 got him. Next at-bat was Ian Happ. That was a four-pitch at-bat. Curveball got him to at 77. Then Dansby strikes out swinging. That was a six-pitch at-bat. But you're hoping something happens there in those at-bats out of people who you know and you trust. And when that happens, and you know it's three straight strikeouts, strikes out the side, you're down to another inning where you're hoping to see something else happen. And then Pete Crow Armstrong comes into the game. And I have to say, after yesterday, I think for him and his mentality, he's either a starter or he shouldn't play if he's got the day off. We know how frustrated he can get after certain at-bats. I don't necessarily know the pinch hitting, even when the numbers might dictate it. There's a mentality you have to have. Justin Turner told us about it yesterday. And in my opinion, When he's there to start the inning and he strikes out as well, how is that going to affect him moving forward? Yeah, that's a piece of this too that I look at in the scope of all of this.
The fact that he had seven strikeouts in the last two games of the last series and now gets hit by a pitch and also strikes out in this game, there's nothing to build upon as far as confidence building for PCA in moments like that.
And you have to test it. You know, you look really smart if that at bat works out. If he gets on base, you know, if he can make something happen once he does. But when you consider how pinch hitters will talk to you about preparing for games and the mentality you have to have, or you even hear a manager say you don't want your DH to have four pinch hit at bats, there is an art to it, you know, and not everybody has that. And I worry about like doing more damage than helping in moments like those. You know, how does that help somebody or hurt somebody moving forward too? If you know that that's a possibility. We have more to come here on Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score, examining what happened in last night's Cub loss to the Reds, and also why I think this might have been a perfect storm of events, combining philosophy, what we heard from Mike Soroka last night, and then what happened therein. We'll discuss it next. You're listening to Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score and the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
And now we get the word that Mike Soroka has had to leave the game. No reason why just yet, but Ben Brown has come in to pitch for the Cubs. It's kind of a bizarre thing to happen.
He had some right shoulder discomfort, just so he let a pitch go in the second inning and just didn't feel good, finished the inning, but it's an IL. You know, we'll see what the next steps are.
This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. That was Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer on the Cubs Radio Network talking about what happened to Mike Soroka, the starting pitcher for last night's Cubs game, who the Cubs acquired in a trade with the Washington Nationals. This is Rahimi and Harris. And as I listen to Craig Counsell there, not only do I hear the sad matter-of-factness in Counsell's voice, but I also hear somebody who understands how this could drag out or how this could affect the team moving forward.
He lost one of his outgetters at a time in which he needs lots more outgetters down the stretch. He's waiting for outgetters Javier Assad and Jameson Taillon to be deemed major league ready. And so now it's back to bullpen games and just trying to mix and match. It is not an enviable position that Craig Counsell's in, but this is the job they pay him to do, is to figure it out.
And I think he's done a good job when it comes to saying, this is a player I can work with. This is how I see this person fitting on the team. Credit to Ben Brown, who comes in after two innings of Michael Soroka's start. Brown comes in and throws four innings, gave up only two hits and one earned run, and threw five strikeouts. I feel like what we saw in Ben Brown was a more relaxed man on the mound.
I look at him and I'm thinking to myself, is this because he didn't start the game? Is that bad that that's the first thing that came to my mind?
He'll tell you what a first inning can do to him. We've seen how the Cubs have managed around it. That is a Craig Counsell move.
And he has spoken at length about it. So I guess that's probably why that's where my head went to. But he looked phenomenal. Even the run that he gave up was just kind of like, okay, what are you going to do about that?
And we've got some feedback on our text line. Like 708 says, Ben Brown has more upside than Soroka anyway. No big loss. Brown looked great. I wish I could be as optimistic as you. But however, I feel like the resume doesn't dictate that. I do think, though, I joked in our meeting pre-show that if the Cubs acquired good Ben Brown at the trade deadline, that would be a nice pep in the step. It's just, the bottom line is, you purposefully acquired a pitcher that unfortunately had something happen to him where you could say retroactively, there were signs.
There were definitely signs. I mean, just listening to him talk post-game that we just heard in the first segment, that just let you know, okay, this isn't me being crazy thinking, did they get the best that they could get? And I'm wondering if Jed Hoyer has, well, to put it frankly, buyer's remorse on him specifically. And then if he's not in his mind re-exploring other ideas, like remember the Adrian Houser thing, that came down to like the last hour.
From what we understand, that was Bruce Levine telling us about that too. And I trust Bruce when it comes to Sox Cubs deals. And that's unfortunate because I had said this before. I didn't think the Cubs were in a position roster depth-wise to dictate their own price on individuals that they needed.
You wanted them to set the mark, and you came out strong with that well ahead of the trade deadline, and when it was taking forever for starting pitchers to come to the forefront.
Not just that, but bats. I mean, we just saw what happened again with this offense. I shouldn't be sitting here talking today about the Cubs only getting three hits after a pitcher that left the game in Nick Lodolo. I should be talking about a team that took advantage of that. I should be talking, based on the lineup we have, I should be talking about a team who took advantage and made you pay. And that's the team that we talked about in April and May. Don't give them extra outs. Don't let them have more chances. But this is contagious, and it's extending. I want to go back to something that Jed Hoyer said to Sahadev Sharma and Patrick Mooney on the Northside Territory podcast. This was before the trade deadline. And the reason I bring it up is when you can't dictate the price you want and you know that you have to hold on to some prospects because you gave up some in, say, for example, getting Kyle Tucker, you have a different philosophy. He talked about the concept of buying the dip and how that can pay off. I say that keeping in mind that Michael Soroka had a velocity dip in his last couple of starts. So let's listen to what Jed had to say to Sahadev and Patrick Mooney a few weeks ago.
I thought what the Braves did in 2021 was brilliant. You know, they, whether it was Jock Peterson, who wasn't having a good year, Eddie Rosario wasn't having a good year, Soler wasn't having a good year, but those players had track records, and they basically bought on the, you know, the idea that they would, the regression to the mean, and they did. And I think that was really effective. And I do think there's a tendency at the deadline to like, who's hot right now, who's playing really well. And it is definitely comforting to get that guy who's doing that. But at the same time, like, there's also a really good argument that, like, sometimes, like, you know, listen, like, this guy's a good player. He has a good track record, and he's having a down year. Sometimes it's just a matter of time until he plays well. So we have both those discussions, both on, like, this guy's a better player than this. But also, I mean, I'm talking to our pitching guys all the time about, you know, different guys, like, you know, adding a pitch or, you know, a delivery adjustment. I do think on the pitching side, I think that's a little bit more prevalent than on the hitting side. And I would also, like you said, you talk about our pitching, and our pitching infrastructure has been really good. Like, I'd also make note that our eight defenders are really good too. Yeah. You know, and I think that that is a significant part of our pitching value, honestly, is that we play really good defense. We have a lot of really good defenders. We make plays, and I think that that is a part of our pitching infrastructure in a way as well.
So when I hear Jed Hoyer say that, and this is Raheem Ian Harris on 670 The Score, and Jed Harris talks about trading for Michael Soroka. You know, that was not specific to Michael Soroka, but you can see where the philosophy was applied and why that was the case. Unfortunately, this is the perfect storm. Everybody told you who they were. You heard Jed Hoyer tell you what his philosophy was. You heard Michael Soroka say that he knows who he is as a player, and that's why he preemptively had the MRI. Unfortunately, we saw what happened last night, and that's the risk you run in incidents and philosophies like this.
When you look at Michael Soroka pre-trade, you can understand why Jed Hoyer was buying that particular dip. This is a guy who's ERA was 4.87 with the Nationals, but the FIP, the fielding independent pitching, was 4.13. Also, that whip, nice and low at 1.13. That's good. And he's thinking, okay, clearly the Nationals don't have the defense that the Cubs have. I'll put him out there in front of my guys, and as long as the ball's not flying out of the park, which it did once last night against him, then we should be in pretty good shape as a back of the rotation arm. But it didn't play out that way. And now you're back working through, okay, are there other moves I can make within the organization to make sure we have fresh enough arms down on the farm to come help this team as we play the last, 50 games of the season?
And we talked about the injuries that Soroka had. So 8-4-25 yesterday was the shoulder. It was the bicep in April. And that makes me a little worried because one goes up to the other, bicep goes up to shoulder. In July of last year, there was a shoulder issue. In 2023, there was a forearm. He had an Achilles injury that really stuck with him for a few years. So there have been setbacks, but I also think that there are players who have had multiple Tommy John surgeries and they get traded for, so that doesn't necessarily concern me. But I agree, like when you listen to what Jed said, Soroka fits the profile of why that he would be a good candidate for them.
It makes you wonder if some of these other pitchers that didn't have multiple years of team control, like let's say Sandy Alcantara was in his final year, if he would have rolled the dice on that. And some of these other guys out here, I mean, look, Shane Bieber is out here making rehab starts and getting traded. I mean, there are levels to this. So
the Red Sox traded for Liam Hendricks when he was still injured.
And so you wonder if they exhausted all resources in coming up with and landing on, hey, Michael Soroka is going to be the one starting pitcher that we acquire. And I get it. Bullpen arms are superior. But you look at all the arms that were traded out of the bullpen, and you understand they didn't get the best bullpen arms. They may have gotten adequate. Bullpen arms have been fine that they traded for so far. It's mm-hmm. been a very short amount of time. But it'll be interesting to see how those other bullpen arms that were moved at the deadline do versus what the Cubs were able to acquire.
Well, that's the game you're playing, right? For lack of a better example or pun or whatever you want to say, this is the risk you run. And it's really trying to figure out which risk you're the most comfortable with taking.
Justin Turner talked about it yesterday with us. I mean, he's been on so many teams that have been in this position to make a trade, not make a trade. Sometimes you make the big move. Sometimes you make more subtle moves. And then sometimes it's a crapshoot as to what actually ends up working out for the teams that are doing the acquiring. Now, it's worked out for him as he's got a World Series championship. He was an NLCS MVP. But only time will tell whether or not this works out for the Cubs. I think the people who aren't as concerned as maybe you and I are the people who are looking at the standings and saying, hey, those bats could come around at any moment, and they haven't played that well offensively of late. As long as the bats come around, they should be okay.
Right.
My counter to that is, last I checked, when you get to the playoffs, you're facing elite pitching, whether it's the starter or the bullpen, and your bats have got to find a way to win a game 3-2, but your bats, even if they give you three runs, if you're giving up four or five, you're in trouble.
There's a lot of lessons the Cubs have taught us over the years. You know, one of them was when Jed Hoyer and Theo Epstein, at the time, famously said the offense was broken. They talked about what they needed to do to change it. I would say that we're still reeling from that in a way, because I thought about it every single time the Cubs offense isn't working as they'd like to see it. And the other piece of it is that they did talk a lot about lineup diversity, making sure you have different types of hitters, making sure you have hitters who can lengthen a lineup. They don't all have to have the same profile. I argue that you definitely need a player like Kyle Tucker who has that career 5-WAR resume offensively. That is crucial. You've seen that be a formula in baseball now. I also come from the school of when you think you have enough, get more. Because that's what it takes to not only sustain playoff runs, it helps shorten the lack of risk that you're taking, right? It helps lessen the chance of, well, if this happens, then this has to happen. And if X and Y work, you want to say if less.
You want a higher floor. That's the bottom line.
And you want your hitters, like even the Willie Castro deal, which I think was a really savvy pickup. You want somebody who's producing in a way that when he gets to that spot in the lineup, you're not as stressed out about what 1-4 per se did. You know, that's lengthening your lineup. So when I put all of these pieces together, that's when I say, if this is the only year you have with this guy, is that enough? You know, did you do enough? Like, would we be talking about Michael Soroka as much if the Cubs didn't have but three hits last night? That's the beauty of depth. That's the beauty of a complete and good team.
I think sometimes we look at it as a game-by-game situation, which ultimately that's what a season is. It's just that there's 162 of them, so maybe a little less focus on individual games versus, say, stretches, right? Whether you talk about a week, a month that a team has, and you look at how long they've been slumping, and you're like, well, as long as it doesn't get to this length, we're okay. But I think we're getting in kind of that danger zone out of the All-Star break where you're looking for more consistency in terms of getting runs and hits. Bottom line, runs and hits.
And we all know the difference between a good in April team and a good in September team. And the good in September team tends to go far in a playoff run. And they get there. You know, that's the difference. And if you add up enough of these 500 months or near 500, what happens to your record? It's one thing to have one when you're the 2016 Cubs, but we all know that they led that division practically wire to wire, and their offensive run differential showed it. You know, you had less concern there because relative to everybody else, you knew what they were doing.
That's the key there. Relative to everybody else, you see what everybody else did that trade deadline. You can't talk about this Cubs team without looking at what other people who are challenging for the top of the NL are also doing.
I feel the Brewers breathing down my neck.
Oh, I see the
Brewers.
I feel
the Padres breathing down the Dodgers' necks and therefore my neck.
I see the Brewers used to be, I was looking in the rearview mirror, checking them out. Now I see the Cubs looking ahead, saying they're a little further down the road than we thought they are. That's what a 3-game deficit will do to you.
I agree. Marcus Stroman was also brought up just now on the text line. That's a discussion that a lot of people have had.
No.
But I just feel like the history there might not dictate his history with the Cubs. Like, they might have already come to a natural conclusion in their employment discussion. I feel like that might have already happened when the contract was available and they didn't sign him.
Yeah, I don't see him as a fit on this year's Cubs team.
Now, is he somebody who can add value to a team still trying to make the playoffs? I think that's the better question. Sometimes it is truly about fit, and for a long time here, he did fit well. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. We're going to shift gears and talk a little Bears coming up next, because there's a guy who the Bears are paying a lot of money to, which tends to mean that they have an expectation for him. We got to figure out what he's doing first. That's next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
And then with Dio, his ability to play the run and rush the passer from different locations, outside, inside, is, again, going to make our defensive line even better. Did a lot of work on our background, making sure that they fit what we want in terms of our culture, and they do exactly that.
That was Ryan Poles talking about Dio Odenbo, a new addition to the Bears in the offseason, the free agent defensive end. was signed to a three-year, $48 million contract, 32 of it guaranteed, according to reports. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. I like talking about people getting paid. I like that it's a discussion that we can have. But at the same time, we're also still trying to figure out how he fits into this Bears defense. He's considered one of the more versatile young edge players in the NFL. And we know that while the numbers say that he hasn't had enough sacks based on the pay, I think the Bears are hoping that that changes based on how many times he was able to get to the quarterback on the Indianapolis Colts. He led the team in pressures last year with 33 and quarterback hits at 17. But as we're still trying to figure out what we're going to visualize, even for the game on Sunday against the Dolphins, I think Dio Dangbo's part of this is big, not just because they need it to be, but because they paid him. Too much is given, much is expected, right?
You would think so. And my whole thing with him is looking at the pressure number, and some people will tell you, oh, pressure is just as good as a sack. I don't think that's true. Because that's like saying a walk is just as good as a hit. When you put the ball in play, more things can happen, hit to walk speaking. Also, when you pressure someone, that's not the same as taking them for a guaranteed loss. That's what a sack is. It's a guaranteed loss. And then you move on to the next down and putting them in a long situation. Now, Dio had 8 sacks 2 years ago. Last year, he had 3. You mentioned the pressures. That number's always been high.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to need more than that. I've seen him practice now twice, 2 Saturdays in a row, and I was looking for some type of pop, sizzle. Haven't seen it. So when
like
you talk about
off explosive, like something like startling.
And I'm, yeah, like something that's eye opening. Like, oh, I can't believe he just did that. And maybe it's this new and improved and more experienced Bears offensive line. Maybe it's not. Friday, that's a joint practice against the Dolphins. The offensive line, by all accounts, is nothing to write home about. I would like to see both he and Montez Sweat create problems. I'd like to see them blow the whistle because the quarterback would have been hit in real life. That's what I would like to see.
And here you are talking about pressures and how we know that close isn't necessarily the same as getting the guy. Montez Sweat might be the best example last year. How many times was he just a step late? And he knew it. You know, there were times where he knew if it had just been a little bit quicker, then the quarterback would have gone down in his arms.
I think the thing with Montez Sweat is you saw the glimpse that you needed to see from the year prior when he led not one but 2 teams in sacks. Now that says more about how many sacks led each of those teams when you talk about the Commanders versus the Bears. But I think also, I think we've seen enough in the 12 and a half sacks that we saw 2 years ago to understand that if he's healthy, he can get back to that double digit level. I'm not saying he's got to have 12 and a half sacks, but double digit sacks would be nice out of both of those guys. Because again, the last 4 seasons, all I've been asking outside of a blip from Robert Quinn is who's getting the quarterback.
Well, I mean, Montez Sweat had 10 and a half sacks in that career year, and that was an outlier for him. If you had 2, that would be riches upon riches. That would mean you are giving quarterbacks' lives hell on practically every down.
If you're going to be a good team, you usually need guys. You did watch the Super Bowl last year, right? We don't need to call
blitz.
I mean,
I also watched the NFL playoffs, too. Yeah. And that's it. When your pass rush is so good that you don't even have to bring an extra pass rusher up ever, relatively speaking, that was incredible. Like, when you know that people are just making somebody's life hell every single snap like that, and that's what the Eagles defensive front did, man. Yeah, that's game-wrecking, as we like to say. So Dio Odengbo talked at practice yesterday, and he answered my famous Office Space quote. What would you say you do here?
What would you say you do here?
Dio, getting situated with Dennis Allen's defense, what's kind of been one of the hurdles you've had to overcome early on here at camp?
I think every defense is different. You know, learning a new scheme, having new responsibilities, new techniques, new alignments, it's definitely different, and trying to figure out where your game fits in with that.
Where you feel like it is a good fit for you?
Yeah, I mean, all over the place, you know, just playing tighter to the tackles and being able to set the edge from that point. And, you know, a lot of the stunts and movements and letting that shine. So,
is there something about this system that you feel is going to accentuate your game better than where you've been?
Yeah, like I said, a lot of the movements and, you know, simulated pressures, bringing five, six, you know, being able to affect the quarterback in that way and have the D-line moving around, it's definitely going to help.
Okay, so I feel like these are pretty fundamental basics, yes? I don't have any sort of understanding as to his role further than what I had previous. He may not want to tell people stuff, and I understand that part of it too.
He's a guy on a defense that wants to stop the pass and stop the rush. Does that sum up what he said, pretty much?
Both teams played hard.
I know Robbie loves that one. Detroit callback.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, so if he's going to Rasheed Wallace it out there, that's nice. Rasheed Wallace has highlights and such. I would like to see the Dio Odingbo highlight reel at the end of the season.
You can't say Sheed wasn't a disruptive presence.
Yes, follow his lead. On the defensive line, you're at one edge, Montez Sweat is at the other. Now go get somebody. And you know what? I'm not saying he's not going to be whatever the Bears went out to get him. I'm just saying, as he learns a new defense, a new system, new alignments, new everything else, it would be nice to see some progress along the way. Or is this going to be one of those, it's week one, go get him?
And that hasn't always worked out for the Bears defensive linemen.
The more time that goes by during this camp, the more I hear from Ben Johnson, who will speak at some point in the show, and we'll bring you that sound here on Raheem and Harris, the more I realize it is going to be a slow start. They're probably not going to finish above 500, and that this is just the way of the world. It's unacceptable. I know that.
So extend everybody.
What's done is done, Layla.
Doesn't mean I can't ask questions about it.
Oh, no, we're all asking questions.
We do it every day. And this, though, combined with what you've seen in practice, I need more. I need to see more. I need to figure out how this is working. And I'm not saying necessarily I need more out of him. I just need to see more of what he's doing.
Yeah, like my man Kylo Ren said, more, just more.
Yeah, if I had the chance to have unlimited power over the galaxy and possibly the universe, I would look into it.
That's what he did, and apparently that's what the Bears will at some point do.
But I would be a benevolent leader.
Oh, of course. That's how it starts.
That's always how it starts. Well, no, that is not always how it starts. We have more coming up here on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score. We got a little bit of a time change for you. So Brian Baldinger, we are going to hear from him, but it's going to be at 11:45. So Tyson Bagent and Case Keenum both spoke a few days ago at Bears camp, and they had some really insightful comments. Number one, I think Case Keenum brings up a lot of schematic things about the offense that can make you feel better about the adjustments that Caleb Williams is making. And also Tyson Bagent with some insight about Michigan's offense that not only led me to think about Colson Loveland, but another quarterback in the division. So that's all coming up next here on Raheem and Harris on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.